1. Item number 1, 2014 adopted budget amendment 1A021 from the Director, Department of Family Care, submitting a semi-annual informational report relative to Center for Independence and Development patient relocation placements. This item also went to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit on July 24th, 2014. That committee took no action. The item is informational only, and that's otherwise directed by the committee.
All right. Good morning, Ms. Ledger. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Madam Chair, Supervisors. My name is Maria Ledger. I'm the Director of the Department of Family Care. The report that you have is in response to budget amendments asking for, I believe, both semi-annual and quarterly reports on the Department of Family Care's work towards the closure of Hilltop. The report explains a little bit about the managed care organization, with which I'm sure you're all very familiar. And then on the second page, you see I listed out the specific questions from the budget amendment and the impact of relocations on the health and safety of the individuals who have been relocated from Hilltop. And again, as I'm sure you're all aware, all individuals who are enrolled in family care are assigned to an interdisciplinary team. A registered nurse is part of that team. A downsizing or closing initiative of any facility is very closely monitored by the state, and one of the reasons it becomes a very involved process is because it's a requirement that people be very much aware of relocation stress syndrome and transfer trauma so that individuals even moving to a smaller, more community-integrated setting sometimes exhibit symptoms of this, and so the interdisciplinary teams are very aware and are monitoring for any signs of transfer trauma. And as any person who's enrolled in family care, they're looking at weight change and falls and working in conjunction with their acute and primary care settings. The amendment also asked for the extent of involvement of guardians or family members. Again, as you all know, enrollment into a managed care organization is a voluntary process, so guardians agree to options counseling. They select a managed care organization. They choose to have their wards enroll, and then they're very closely involved in identifying community relocation sites. The third item was nature and duration of relocations, and to date when this report was drafted, there may be more now, there were 15 members relocated from Hilltop that are enrolled in Milwaukee County Family Care. That's not the only managed care organization that's moving individuals from Hilltop, but that's the information that I have. So we have people going to a variety of settings, into small 1 and 2 bed adult family homes, 3 and 4, to apartments with supportive services, to the homes of family members, and to community-based residential facilities. It should be noted that no one has relocated to a facility larger than 8 beds. The report asks for an accounting of costs and savings of relocations and the resulting reduction in capacity of services. What you have is a spreadsheet of the total costs that family care paid to Hilltop because a facility such as Hilltop is in the benefit package. So we have authorizations and payments. And then the average costs for those individuals who have moved to the community. So those are the two figures that I have access to because those are both services were authorized and paid for by family care. I don't have any information about the resulting reduction in capacity of services because we're moving individuals into a community network of providers. The amendment asks for costs under the medical assistance program, the information about services that are in the benefit package is in that table above. Costs for acute and primary services through Medicaid are not authorized or paid by family care, so I don't have those dollar amounts. And again, when it talks about the extent of medical assistance provided to relocated or diverted individuals, what I have is the items that family care pays for. Now again, family care relies solely on Medicaid dollars for services for individuals. So all of those things that are in the benefit package are paid through Medicaid. So that's what's in that chart. Other services we assist in coordinating, but we don't pay for, so I don't have the cost amounts for those. Lastly, The amendment asked for staff turnover rates for nursing homes, ICFs, for individuals relocated, but we don't. I don't have the staff turnover rate for Hilltop. Again, we fund people while they are there, and we are looking for community placements, and then we fund the community placements. So I don't have the staffing information for Hilltop.
Very good. Let the record reflect that we've been joined by Supervisors Taylor and Bowen. Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With the people who have been placed, have they, I guess, returned or had to be moved to a different facility? Is this, are they all currently in the same placement that they started?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Weishan, we had one individual who has gone back to an acute setting, and we're looking for an alternate placement for. Everyone else has remained in the community, and to the best of my recollection, everyone is in the setting to which they were relocated. People do move from time to time, whether they're coming out of Hilltop or not, but I think for the individuals, the 15 people that we're talking about that have come out as a part of this closure, I can get the exact answer for you, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't think anybody has moved from community setting to community setting.
Okay, and then you mentioned that one had to go back to the acute setting, which is our county facility?
Correct.
If that county facility didn't exist, where would they go? What would family care do?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Weishan, any acute psychiatric setting is considered a hospital. So a hospital is not a part of the benefit package, and so we have individuals who would go to an alternate short-term facility for behavior stabilization. We also have crisis respite homes, and we're also working, we've provided training to the community-based facilities with whom we're working so that we can do more to avert crises rather than manage them. The short answer to your question is if that acute psychiatric hospital was not available, there are other hospitals that we would have to look towards in terms of obtaining services for members who needed that type of care.
Right, because I'm wondering, shouldn't we be operating under the premise that hospital isn't there and that you should be sending them to these other facilities that you mentioned rather than back to Milwaukee County?
Madam Chair and Supervisor Weishan, you may be right at this point that the facility is there, and if it's closest to the individual and they're familiar with the individual, I guess we're going to do, at the time, again, of a crisis, what's in the best interest of that person.
Okay. Thank you. And then on the cost factor, could you just explain a little bit more? I see that, you know, we have some costs that have gone up and some are down.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just elaborate on that? Is it because they're receiving more services and that's why it costs more?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just that provider charges more? What is the reason?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Weishan, you see differences in terms of individuals and their costs. And in some cases, it's the type of the service. You can't really think about all of the individuals at Hilltop as being that similar. So there are people at Hilltop with higher needs and people with lower needs. So when we look at an appropriate community placement, for instance, I think where you see perhaps the lowest monthly cost that we paid for someone in the community, I believe that's the individual who moved home with his family. He's receiving supportive services in the home and day programming, but when you're living with family, it's a less expensive option than, say, an 8-bed group home. There are people who need to be intensively staffed. So where there would be group home staff, we've also added in an overlay of one-on-one so that that individual in that home always has a staff person who's with them. So where you see variations of cost, it's because there are variations in terms of the needs of the individuals. This is absolutely positively not a one-size-fits-all.
No, I mm-hmm. the question that I had is, you know, like a person here that is receiving $12,778 mm-hmm. worth of services, mm-hmm. is that because they are, that we know for a fact that they are receiving more services than what they received before? Or is it just the pricing structure of that institution mm-hmm. that they charge us more mm-hmm. than maybe someone else down the road?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Supervisor Weishan, when we look for a placement for somebody, we're always looking for what the person needs, and we're trying to be cost effective. So where you see differences in the cost from Hilltop to a community placement, and again, you're right, some of those community placements are more expensive than a larger institutional setting. But you know, in a larger institutional setting, you're going to get those economies of scale. But so for the individuals with the higher payment rates, it may be the pay structure for the residential facility. However, we look really carefully at budgets and the financials from those facilities to make sure that we're paying what it costs to provide good care. But again, I think probably a good portion of these individuals have additional staff, so that's going to account for more money. If you need an additional one-on-one person for all daytime hours, plus you have an individual, I can go back and get you the specific numbers, but I would say a good portion of these individuals are now going out to day programming, which is an additional cost, which wasn't a cost when they were in an institutional setting because everything was provided in-house. So now they're in a more community-integrated setting and there's transportation. So the object of the exercise of moving people to the community, from our perspective, is about getting the right fit at the right price. But we're not going to go so low that there's not going to be good care, and we're not going to pay more than we need to for somebody to get really good care in the community. So there will always be a variation. Some of it's going to be on the provider side, but we look at the financials of those providers really carefully.
Right. It's just under the – we've been kind of sold that this is all about cost savings, and to see a chart that shows that this could get rather expensive. And without something – breaking it down to know exactly, because I don't think it's, you can say that the quality of life that we provided at a county facility, people did everything they could to make it, the best care they could. And you talked about things the economies of scale and being able to reduce costs, mm-hmm. yet now we're pushing these people out into the community and we're increasing costs in some cases, at least what you have documented here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it is they're receiving lower services and we're just being charged more, or if they're actually receiving better, higher quality services and they're actually living a higher quality of life.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Weishan, I can appreciate that. The other piece of it, though, is when there's a facility closing and a person enrolls in family care, we have an obligation to move them to the community. So what we're doing in terms of this relocation has never been about it's not a cost savings or a cost increase. That's not the driver on the MCO side.
Okay, well, we're going to need to get a big, giant banner put up that it's not about cost savings because that's what they always club us over the head with. But on that. But,
it's
no,
the right
I,
thing to do.
Pardon me?
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but if it would be possible in the future or something to – I would just like a little bit more of a breakdown on the – to actually see what we're paying for, to help mm-hmm. Understand what the differences are from the services in a, you could say, an institutional setting mm-hmm. to the services they're now receiving in the community. And if there is a significant difference between facilities, because if a provider is charging one amount and another one down the street is charging another, but it's the same quality, mm-hmm. Is it just because of our space constraints and we got a bunch of people that we have to, so we're forced to pay, are we being, taken advantage of by that one provider and because they know we don't have any place to put these people, so they're going to charge us more? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So you know, I don't need it tomorrow, but I would just like to see a more detailed understanding, I guess, could for me on how this
sure.
pricing goes.
Absolutely.
Mr. Hudson seems like he has an answer.
I guess I just would like to comment a little bit on that, your concern about costs. So, for instance, in one of the examples here where you see the Hill Harbor home, their staff there, they actually went through a crisis training. It was a very intensified program, so they've actually got behavioral specialists on staff. The members in that facility are actually receiving probably even higher or better quality care. The overall, what we're seeing from a cost structure is it's probably costing family care a little more, but it's actually more cost effective because what we were told was the cost structure for the facility, meaning the Behavioral Health Division, was running about $600 a day. We have not paid out anything near $600 a day. Right.
Sorry. And the reason that their costs outstrip the payments are because the state sets the payment rates for facilities. So any nursing home or facility that's licensed as Hilltop has a Medicaid rate established by the state. So I guess I don't want to give the impression that we're paying under what they're asking. We're paying what the state requires us to pay for care in a facility. So, but as I'm sure you've seen in other facilities, most nursing homes will tell you that their costs exceed what they receive from Medicaid.
Right.
So there's that piece that I believe was made up through tax levy, which is now the individuals are being, when they're funded in the community through family care, it's all Medicaid dollars.
Yeah, it's the same holds true for just a conventional nursing home. They actually don't even receive the cost, their cost of care. They're somewhere between $27 and $30 a day that they're not receiving reimbursement for, just for a straight nursing home. So Medicaid just doesn't cover the cost. In this case, with family care, we are covering the full cost of care. So I guess we can assure you, and I'm trying to assure you that cost of care has actually come down going into the community. Not substantially, but it has come down a bit. And I thought we have done a pretty good job of negotiating rates with providers. I think some of the other private players are struggling a little bit because they're under the gun. We were aggressively working to develop our provider network and ensure we had a network of providers where we could place people that home or that placement fits for their needs. So I hope that helps.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nothing else?
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Bowen.
Not on this item.
Okay. Anybody else?
I guess I'm.
All right, Supervisor Schmidt.
The only comment I would make, I guess, is that I think it's a process that has to be done. I mean, you're in a situation, you're doing it, and I think another area has done a good job on this, and that it is what it is. Been a tough struggle through this whole process, but the national model certainly is the one that we're following, that we've got behind, and it's so tax supportive, intensive. And I don't think this is any way looking at the kind of service and really so many dedicated people we had at the mental health. I know we've mentioned this before, but I think it bodes to mention again because we were out in Hilltop has been downsized over the last decade significantly. We had 500. So to say that the county has been involved in that really isn't fair. Maybe it hasn't gone as fast as some people like, but I think some of the difficult people here, I mean, the real schizophrenics, the people who have just, I mean, they're very difficult cases. And then to find places, I mean, many of us have older parents, and we know what costs are to, when you go to the Village of Manor Park or someone, if you're in a nursing home, it's $12,500 a month. So there's significant costs out there in the private sector. And, I think we're doing a good job as far as we could see. And as tough as it was never sold to us as really as a cost savings, that is automatically cost saving. We knew the transition would be difficult, and that's why it took a little bit more time. And the private providers coming in too, and you know what you talked about, they're always looking for reimbursement. It's not, that's not always the case, the full cost. So you know, as much as been a difficult transition for us, and some feelings for people who worked so well for the county for so long, I think it's a, and it's the way it is, and we have to accept it, and we have to do the best job we can. And I think what I can see you're certainly doing, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks.
Madam Chair.
Supervisor Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a chance to review this in finance, and we had a lengthy discussion, so I won't bring up too much. But the report also shows some holes where we don't have the information from the state, and I think that was many of my concerns. The information that we should have for some of the patients that we know have moved on to other places, and seeing what the result was with those individuals. So I guess my question is, has the information been requested from the state? I know Director Colon at the time of finance meeting did speak, but I don't know if all I heard was, you know, I don't have that information, and I just would like to know, if has that information been requested?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Bowen, I believe Director Colon requested the information from the state, and because the issue to that you're referring to in terms of the holes is, as I said, we have a portion of those individuals who are relocating from Hilltop, and we are not the only managed care organization moving individuals. So while I can talk about our piece of this particular initiative, there are other managed care organizations in Milwaukee County who are also working on relocating individuals to the community. And I don't have any, obviously don't have any of that information. So, but my understanding was that Director Colon had asked the state for that.
Okay. It would be good if we could get that soon so that we can really compare and see what's going on with our own residents in Milwaukee County that deserve access to good services. And, the quicker, the better. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. And as I did state in finance, Rob Henkin from the Policy Forum has been working on this issue, the capacity study that was ordered in the budget, and this particular issue is covered, which I'm sure Ms. Ledger knows because I'm sure she has provided information. And so that will be before us in September, so we'll maybe get a better look then. All right. Thank you.